Are you a beginner project manager that feels trapped? You've done the work. You've got there. Now your dream opportunity is slowly turning into a nightmare. I know. I want to be honest with you. You're not alone. I have saw firsthand many times how many good project managers are walking away from good or even exceptional opportunities. And really, family, the reasons are really going to shock you. Are you settling for less than you deserve? And more importantly, are you going to tune in today's episode to figure out what decision should you make to the question, if you're settling for less than you deserve? You mind if I share a story with you? I remember when I got into this training program a long, long time ago. And I would get up at 5 a.m. and to be at work by 7. And I would work from 7 a.m. to sometimes 7, 8, 9 o'clock p.m. As many times that I would go home and I would just literally fall asleep in my clothes. I did not take the time to read any books like The Magnetic Project Manager or just any personal development books or anything of that nature. I was truly frustrated. And to top it off, I had the audacity, no matter of fact, I thought that I was Superman. I would go and work in the retail space in a clothing store on Saturdays and Sundays. So imagine getting up at 5, being to work by 7, working from 7 a.m. to almost 8 to 9 o'clock p.m. consistently. And one day I reached out to my mom and I said, "Hey mom, listen, I'm exhausted. You used to get up when you were working, you used to get up really early but you would come home early, but it was like, could you walk me through? Cause I just don't want to do this anymore. There has to be more to life than this." And she said something that was so poignant. Matter of fact, it's something that I even use today. And this is why I'm sharing this story with you. She says, "Son, until you get to the point that you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, that is only when you're going to take that's only when you're going to execute and take action. Other than that, there's no point of you complaining to me or you talking about it if you're not going to do anything about it. Listen, I'm here for you, something for you to vent. I'm here for you to get whatever you need to get off your chest. However, it comes a point in someone's life where the pain of continuing to have to go through something like that is not worth the reward that they're giving you." So family, I share that with you today because I don't know who's going through something or in a position, a job, or whatever that thing is. And as my mom stated, when you become sick and tired of being sick and tired, this is when you're going to take action. I hope today, after today's episode, I empower you. Matter of fact, I implore you to do something, to take action, even if it's a small step. Let's unpack today's episode. Point number one, unable to bounce back from mistakes made. I see this a lot of times from new project managers and even sometimes even seasoned project managers is that they'll make a mistake and it was their mistake that they made. They may have communicated the wrong thing. They may have accidentally messed up the schedule or the project management plan. And instead of owning it, what they do is they blame other people. And hey, listen, we've all been guilty of that. We've all said, especially as a project manager, said, "Hey, I wouldn't have communicated that if the project team or stakeholder didn't say that." But see, where we're wrong at is that we probably should have done our due diligence. And matter of fact, that was an area opportunity to learn. And reason why I say they can't bounce back, because let's say a project team member or stakeholder tells you some information that is incorrect and you communicate it and you are the one that is held accountable. You take that. You're like, "What do you mean, ED?" Yes, you take that. And the reason why is because now that either that project team member or that stakeholder, you need to do more verification on that person, because now that puts your reputation on the line. And a lot of times the new project manager, they want to be perfect because they're super excited about the opportunity and they don't want to make a mistake. I'll tell you, you're going to make a lot of them. I've made a lot of them. I'm not perfect. I've communicated the wrong information. I've messed up a project schedule, a project plan, but I learned very quickly and I was able to bounce back. I remember, I got another story. I don't know. I'm in story mode. There was when I was growing up, and I think they still have them, where it was this little, I'm going to see if I can find one. It was this little bouncy ball thing. It's like a tall inflated thing. I don't know, maybe 3-4 foot. And at the bottom of it, it was sand, or some of them had sand, some of them had balls or something, but mine's had sand in it. And if you sat on it, it wouldn't get up. But as soon as you got up off of it, it popped right back up. Oh, I think I'm saying something. Family, what I'm saying is we have to be like that. That item is where is that when people give us wrong information and or we make a mistake, we have to get back up. You can't lay there long enough, family. This is part of the job. This is part of the profession. If you choose this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, you have to understand you're going to make some poor decisions, but those poor decisions are going to shape you to be a better, to be an exceptional project manager. Let's move on to point number two, inadequate reporting and communication. A lot of times project managers struggle, especially beginner project managers struggle with being able to provide clear, timely, and accurate project updates to stakeholders and project teams. And this is critical because if you're unable to provide this, you start losing the trust from your project team as well as your stakeholders. But the question is, ED, I know I don't come to your episodes just for you to tell me what I'm doing wrong. You give me actionable tips, and you're right. Here's an actionable tip. Develop a standardized reporting systems for all projects. I would get with my project team. I would get with my stakeholders and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking of as far as a standardized report. Can we get a sign off from everyone? I'll send it out, and all I need is each project team member and each stakeholder to type approved. So that way, we're all alone. You know what the motto is. You know what the saying is. Documentation beats conversation. The next actionable tip, practice concise and clear communication in all project documents. I remember when this lady told me something, and again, one of the things, like my tool belt, you're going to develop your project management tool belt, but you can borrow mine for now. She said, your documentation needs to be so clear that someone should be able to, they should not even know what project management is, but should be able to look at an artifact, especially like a communication management plan. That is a key artifact to say, oh, okay, this is when the meeting is. This is who the people are going to be. This is the frequency. Here's some additional notes. Very clear as water. And that's going to be important, family. So you want to make sure that your communication is clear. Let's move on to point number three. This is what I'm going to take my time with, because sometimes I can get, but micromanagement from leadership. Listen, I do not like micromanagement. If you want to see me get frustrated and not keep my professional cool, go ahead and micromanage me. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do that. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. First of all, now I know where we stand. But let me say something real quick too, family, just to be fair. And I had to learn this too, again, the hard way, was a lot of times, and not all cases, so don't apply this to all cases. A lot of times what can happen is that a leader micromanage you because of the fact that, one, they gave trust to a previous direct report and they basically lied to them. They basically misled them. Or two, that particular leader may be insecure, and because they're insecure and they don't know what's going on, they push that down to you. And so they feel like they need to be part of everything instead of allowing you. I love what Steve Jobs said when he was asked a question, and I'm paraphrasing here. He was having a conversation with, I think, some reporter or doing some interview or something, and they were talking about hiring employees. He was like, listen, when I hire somebody, I'm hiring you for your expertise. If you have questions, of course, I'm going to answer them, but I'm going to get out your way and let you do what you need to do. But I'm going to hold you accountable for the things you said you were going to do. And that is the difference. So let's dig into this point a little bit more. Excessive oversight and control from higher ups really stifle the creativity, the execution, and the autonomy. This can consist of, here's some key points if you're getting micromanaged. demanding unnecessary daily reports, attending every meeting that you have, questioning every decision that you make, bypassing you as the project manager and going directly to the project team or the stakeholders and not including you in those particular meetings. How do you resolve that? One, I'm going to be very transparent. You might want to get your resume ready, and you may want to start working on some certifications or some learning opportunities to see what's going on in the industry. I want to tell you, as my grandma said, like at TI is, because of the fact of this is the reality, family. Number two, establish clear roles and responsibilities at the project outset. And three, propose structured reporting systems that satisfy your leadership without daily interference. You know what? I'm going to just throw in a bonus because I'm feeling great today. Demonstrate competency through consistent delivery and proactive communication. That was one of the ways when I was getting micromanaged the last time I've been micromanaged, where I basically was proactive on the communication. I was including them on every email. I would set up a 10-minute quick call before they could even ask me, hey, we got our daily call at 10 minutes here. Let me tell you what's going on. And I run through everything extremely fast, things that they need to be fully aware of, and even things they didn't even ask me of. So then over time, that started developing confidence within that leader. And eventually, they were like, I just need to leave that guy alone because I really believe that they got it. So I earned their trust. But there's been many situations that I was in prior to that where it was just not going to change. So I had to make a decision that was best for my career. And at first, I did everything possible that was in my control. And that's the biggest thing, family. I'm not telling you if you're being micromanaged to run away, because you may go to the next situation and same thing. So I always say that first things first is do everything you can do that what you can control. You can't control the individual that's micromanaging you. So do everything you can do first. Then if you've done everything that you can do, and as my mama said, once you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, now you make the next decision, whether leaving to go to another organization, maybe even looking at another department within the current organization that you're in. All right, let's move on to point number four. Point number four, limited career growth opportunities. As a project manager, sometimes you will run into that there's no clear path or advancement for skill development, especially us ambitious project managers. And you may start looking elsewhere, but this could be either, and this normally happens because you're looking for a leadership role, or there's no dollars allocated towards the training budgets, or there's no opportunity to work complex projects. Let me share a story with you. Something happened to me that was very interesting. So I was working at this organization, and they made it their decision, not a choice, to say, listen, we want all our project managers to be PMP certified. And I was like, this is amazing. This is really rare. And I know you say, well, what do you mean? This is rare from the different organizations I've worked in. And they were willing to invest and pay the money to invest in the resource or the project manager to become PMP certified. But what started happening is they're making this investment. And once people got PMP certified, probably within 30 days or less, even 2 weeks or less, they were leaving to go to another organization because they had an opportunity to make more money. And I share that story with you is because this is why I've always, and I'm going to talk about it later, make an investment in myself. I hire a coach, I hire a mentor. I go out and buy additional training because of the fact that I want to be able to hold. I remember, like I said, control what you can control. So I would hate for an organization to pay for something and then I leave and then they try to hold me hostage and say, no, you don't, you need to stay. We just made this big investment. Matter of fact, they started having people sign contracts and I was like, nah, I'll pay for mine on my own. I'm good on that because they wanted you. And I get it. And just imagine if you and I are working together and I say, okay, I'm going to give you everything you need to be a successful project manager from the beginning stage all the way up to whatever, and to a seasoned veteran, and then all of a sudden you leave. Okay, you do it like that example. What I'm basically saying, family, is that more or less what tends to happen is that an organization makes this investment in you. The expectation is that, hey, we trusted you. Now we need you to trust us. And we will eventually give you a pay raise because you got certified, you're delivering, the quality of work is actually even improved. So we'll make the, we've already showed you we're willing to make the investment. So you have to understand that this is a business. And because it's a business, they want to make sure that they get a return on investment in their business. So that's why I always say, take your career in your own hands, create a personal learning and development plan. I'll repeat that. Create a personal learning and development plan. I have a personal and learning development plan. I allocate X amount of dollars to it, to put aside to invest in training, because I know how important it is. I know getting around other like-minded project managers will help me grow as a project manager, because I'm able to bounce things off of them. They're able to bounce things off of me. So it's like a little mini mastermind. And then also what you could do is, if you don't have the investment, see if you can find people within the organization that you can create some type of internal, get everyone to do a lunch and learn if you're going after the CAPM or if you're going after the PMP. Let's move on to point number five. Lack of project team buy-in. What can happen here is that project team members, and I'm probably going to do a whole episode on this, where project team members stop showing up to meetings. And then first it starts with the meetings. And then second, it starts with not answering emails. And you're like, what is going on here? You start saying, are they quiet quitting? It meaning they're basically spending more time looking for a job and they're just ready to leave the organization because of disappointment. Who knows what the issue is, but there's a huge resistance. And so you have to figure out, man, what is going on here? And you need to reach out to that person directly, or those project teams individually, reach out to those individuals in the project team individually to find out what is going on. And if they don't want to share with you what's going on, you need to escalate. I'm sorry, because if you don't escalate, then that's going to impact your project. And when you're presenting to leadership and they'll say, why are you behind schedule? What are you, and if you don't have the courage and the fearlessness to say, I don't have John showing up to the meetings. Joe made a decision that, hey, the meetings are not important. And now your leadership can say, let me go talk to John and Joe and figure out why they're not showing up. Matter of fact, do you have, because when teams, you can record the meeting as well as the attendance. Do you have the attendance? I do, because why? Documentation beats a conversation. So again, you want to also, as an actionable tip, be able to clearly communicate the project benefits. I always say a project manager is in sales as well as marketing. And again, I'm probably do something around that. You need to start studying sales and marketing. It's going to really help you when you're working with your project team as well as stakeholders. Let's move on to point number six, excessive bureaucrat or bureaucracy. One of the things is that what could end up happening is that there's multiple layers of approval for minor decisions. There's rigorous adherence to unnecessary procedures or excessive documentation and requirements. And I'm telling you, family, I've done that. And it was just like, so when are we going to get to actually execute it? It was so many different artifacts that weren't even project management related that I had to fill out. And I'm like, if I have to fill out one more document, I'm going to be behind and leading this project. Can we find a way to streamline all this? Is there an automated process that, hey, if I fill this document out, you get where I'm going? So my point is being that, here's a tip, find a way to see if you can work with who's ever making you fill out these documents. Say, hey, is there any way we can run a pilot program? Because I want to see it. And you're going to have to get buy-in from them, because again, a lot of people don't like change, especially if they came up with all of these documents for you to execute on. See if they'd be willing to do a small pilot with a small group of people, or maybe during a quarter or something of that nature, to improve and show the difference in efficiency and show how it's going to benefit them. Because anytime you're working with, you're trying to make a change, you always got to ask one question. What's in it for them if you're the one that's communicating the change? Let's move on to point number seven. Difficulty adapting to new methodologies and frameworks. I've watched organizations, especially when the agile mindset started blowing up, and certain organizations would want to shift to that mindset. What happened was there were a lot of project managers that were caught off guard, and they were caught off guard because of the fact that they didn't understand what a Scrum framework was, or they didn't understand what maintaining an agile mindset. And then on top of that, because a lot of time for years, decades, multiple decades, projects have been ran in a predictive, which translates to a waterfall approach in leading projects. And you just started watching, especially beginner project managers that learn the predictive style and don't learn like learning an agile mindset or a Scrum framework. That's why I always say, go get your CSM to start off with. And then after you get that, because there's no requirements, meaning you got to have the PMP X amount of months, and they go get that so you can understand. So if your organization makes the shift, you're already ready. But here's the key thing. Just don't get the certification to stop there. Continue to start learning on that thing. So again, I'm going to go back to investing yourself and study different frameworks and methodologies before you actually, so you're already prepared. As they say, if you get ready, you won't have to be ready. Let's move on to point number 8, organizational instability. I've worked at many organizations where I've seen different changes in leadership or just staff in general. And working in those organizations, one of the key things that I learned is one year you may have somebody you really develop a good rapport and good connection, and then they're gone and you have to find your way back home, meaning make new connections and develop new networks. And that's fine. But what can happen, especially for beginner project managers, they lose that opportunity to find, I call them the internal mentor, that it will help them navigate the politics, help them navigate how to actually lead the project properly. And so then when you're seeing all of this happen with leadership change, with staff change, it starts creating a job insecurity, like you're like, man, who's next? Why are they leaving? Because like they were good. It's not like they got fired or they were managed out. It was just like one year they were here, next they're just gone like that. Am I missing something? So this is what I recommend. I don't care what is going on around you. If people are leaving, you need to keep the main thing. And the main thing for you is focus on delivering value regardless of organizational change. Yet, at the same time, parallel, build a strong professional network within and outside of the organization. That's why I always recommend project managers to start writing a blog, writing on LinkedIn, or creating a YouTube or podcast episodes. And the reason why is this keeps you fresh. This gives you an opportunity to develop your skill set, because you're teaching the information that you're doing anyway day to day, or you're studying day to day. This helps me remember a lot of terminologies, a lot of aspects of project management. So I definitely recommend that. And again, stay informed about the industry trends and maintain your market. This will allow you to maintain your marketable skill set. I have two bonus for you, family, and then I have my closing remarks. I appreciate you spending time with me today. Bonus point number 1, misalignment with company culture. Sometimes there could be a mismatch between personal values and organizational culture that can be a discomfort and dissatisfaction. This may involve ethical concerns, disagreement over work-life balance, and most of all, and most important that you really need to pay attention to, conflicting management styles. Actionable tip, what do we do here? You need to communicate your career goals and your preferred project types to your supervisor or your leadership, and then seek opportunities to shadow or assist on desired project types. I also recommend do some type of cross training or skill development activities. Let's move on to the next bonus. Difficulty in leadership. One of the things as a project manager, I know the word says manager, but you are a leader. We know there is a difference. Manager manages tasks and people, but leadership influences and leadership inspires. Leadership jumps in to motivate and will actually do the job if they have to. That's my definition, combined with John Maxwell. But that's my definition of leadership. And you need to be able to navigate between both hats, leadership as well as management. And so you need to understand how to handle conflict resolution. You're not going to get it right every time. But when you have two project team members going at each other, or just it's just something that every time you get on a call, there's a problem and you need to have them on a call. You need to just continue to navigate through it, keep your professional integrity and move forward. Here's some actionable tip. Implement team building activities so you can develop that trust from your team, so you can develop conflict resolution opportunities. Establish clear communication protocols and team norms. Also, address issues promptly, fast, quick, in a hurry before it blows out. And I recommend doing that on a one-on-one basis. Family, here's my closing remarks, and I'll leave you alone for today. Point number one, unable to bounce back from mistakes made. Like I said, family, you're going to make a lot of mistakes in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. The actionable tip is, when you make that mistake, just own it and move on. I always say, when I make a mistake, I treat it as a rear view mirror in the car, but I keep my eye on the windshield. What do you mean? Meaning that I'll look back at the mistake that I made so I don't repeat that same mistake, but I continue to move forward and not harp on it and just move on to the next situation. Point number two, micromanagement for leadership. Listen, you know if you're being micromanaged because it's just excessive oversight and control, how do you to respond to that? Again, you need to sit down with your leadership and find ways to establish a clear roles and responsibility at the project outset. Control what you can control. If you can't figure that out, if it's not working, I told you what my mother said. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know what you need to do. And sometimes people don't want to do that thing that they knew that they need to do because we start allowing all the external communication. And then that gets inside of us internally. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Why are you leaving? Most people just work through it. What, you don't have the skin? Don't fall victim to all of that. Don't fall for that trap. It's a trap. Because if you want to challenge that, say, have you been at the same organization from the time you left graduated out of college or high school? Is this the only job you had? No, then how did you get here? So you have to understand these mind games, these psychological mind games. Don't fall for it. I will tell you, though, that you may go to another organization and it may be an amazing opportunity. You'd be like, why did I wait so long to leave? Or it may be just the same, but you don't give up or give in to those external. Keep grinding, keep looking for something that is aligned with your values and the things that you want to bring to an organization, because there's an organization out there for you that really wants to support you. And the last and final point, organization instability. Like I said, family, there could be constantly restructuring, leadership changes, unstable work environment, but here's the actionable tip. Keep the main thing. Focus on delivering value regardless of the organizational change. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. I truly appreciate today. Thank you for allowing me to pour into you. Leave a comment, leave a thought, DM me on X or Twitter, whatever they're calling it nowadays. I'm there for you. If there's anything I can help you with to improve, or you got questions, I'm just here to serve. Until next time.